You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The best sports tickets in town? Come out on Tuesday, December 12th and see the new look St. Thomas men's basketball team battle the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay Phoenix for only $5. Check out Riley Miller, one of the best shooters in all of college basketball and a group of high-flying freshmen. The ultimate combination of team basketball and athleticism. Go to TommySports.com to get your $5 tickets.
Oh, it's fun. Crazy. It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
All right, Patrick Royce, off of Twitter, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yes.
So let's get right to it. You've got a great Kevin O'Connell Lions factoid.
Yes.
What would you have tweeted if you could have on Sunday?
If I could have tweeted on Sunday, because I was sitting on it all day. Kevin O'Connell now has lost as many games to the Detroit Lions as Mike Tice and Brad Childress did combined. They were 16-1, and he's 1-1.
Yeah,
should we get rid of him? Should we get rid of him? It might be early. Might be early, but
that would have been a great tweet. See, that's why people, you can't be off Twitter.
I gave it to Rand, but I gave you the one Saturday about the Army Navy unis.
I tried to articulate it.
They were terrible. They were terrible.
A lot of people.
They were so bad that the Navy coach got fired. But after 15 years, and then yesterday I was talking to Rand. I said, "Hey, put this about something else." And I said, "Put this in there that when he loses this game," and he said, "I had to look that up to make sure." I said, "No, I've looked it up a lot." Ticey was 8-0, and Chile was 8-1. And Chili's last year when he got fired, when he got fired, they beat him in the first game, and then the Lions beat him in the second game. But Les was coaching.
Les was coaching. Yep.
So he was.
I remember that
he was 8-1 against him. And just think what the records of those two guys had been without the lovable Lions. These are not the lovable Lions, though.
No,
they're pretty good offensively.
Yes,
they're pretty good offensively, and we're pretty bad defensively. But. You know, they could still be exposed. They could be having a hell of a season if they hadn't. Of those, they were 1-6, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they didn't absolutely urinate away, including the one here, three or four of them. I mean, they had three or four of those games won, and they were the same old Lions. And then they, remember, the last of those losses, they just got clobbered. And you thought, okay, they're just sick of listening to this guy and playing like
that. I thought he was in trouble.
Yeah. Now Jared Goff is putting up 350 yards a game, and they're putting up 40 points. And
they got receivers, too.
Yeah.
They got a few of them.
And I got to give them credit, the fake punt and the pass to the tackle was that won the game.
Mm-hmm.
If the Vikings get the ball back with 3 minutes to go, they're scoring, and they'll be going for two to tie it, won't they?
Yeah, most
100%.
Likely.
Yeah, because they're just throwing to Jefferson. So that was the ball game, throwing to Rufus Sewell or whatever his name was.
Tonight Sewell. It was a hell of a catch.
Play, though. Yeah, it was a
great. He made a nice catch.
He's apparently a great athlete. But they've been putting him in motion often, right? During the game?
I have no idea.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But I saw him going, and no one covered him, so.
I saw the quote from Kendricks today that, he said, he said, more power to them, because they'd put him in motion several times, and we just started ignoring it, figured he was going to block. And they got him out the flat, and he caught the ball, and they won the game. And people want to get very upset at the Vikings and the lousy defense, but they're going to end up either 14-3 or 15-2. Depends upon whether they play their regulars. I mean,
they've got three right now.
13-4 or 14-3, depending on if they play the regulars at Green Bay or not, which I don't think they will. There'd be no reason to.
Right? Or Chicago. They've got four games left.
But they won't sit them. They won't sit the big boys for two games at the end of the year.
I think they would sit them at Chicago if their seed is locked up for that last game.
You think they'd wear, come on, what are you
doing? It's right there. It's always right there. It's a rite of passage of this show that thing is going to go off about 12:09 p.m.
So, anyway, you think they'd sit him 2 weeks?
No, I think they would sit him. So they play Green Bay in the penultimate game, and then Chicago.
Oh, I thought.
So I think that they would sit him in Chicago.
I thought they'd play the Green
Bay. I don't think they'd sit
him
2 weeks. No.
Okay, I thought the Green Bay was the last game.
No.
Okay. Well, you're right. Then they'll sit him in Chicago. There's no sense in
trying to get or in getting.
Plus, you'd rather beat Green Bay anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but they're, it's yesterday. I mean, he gave up 1,000 yards, but Cousins had a fantastic day throwing the ball.
Jefferson was phenomenal. Yeah, Cousins was phenomenal.
Yeah, well, all-time record.
Yep.
And you lose to the Lions, 220. He should definitely get MVP consideration. It doesn't have to be a quarterback. Jalen Hurts is going to win.
Yep.
But Jefferson's certainly done as much for the Vikings as any player has done for any team.
Jefferson and Tyreek Hill with the Dolphins are wide receivers who deserve to be considered.
Yeah, Tyreek they've lost a few now, right?
Yeah, they lost to the Chargers last night.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, he deserves to be considered. Where would the Vikings be without this guy?
Yeah.
You wouldn't replace him.
Well, for one thing, Thielen wouldn't have as many catches. Osborne wouldn't have as many catches.
Yep.
And whatever his name is. Rigar wouldn't have been open about six times either if it wasn't for Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
The great thing about having Jefferson is they can do anything they want to him, and the other guys are still going to get open. Now, it is amazing. His first game against this team, he caught 14 yards worth, right?
Yes.
What were they doing that day? Was he hurt? Or what were they doing that day?
In that game, they had the cornerback from Ohio State, that Jeff Okuda.
Yeah.
He followed him. And so what they did was Okuda was injured, he was sick last week.
Okay.
So he couldn't play as much. He played on Sunday, but he
Not
was
like
spotty.
He did. Yeah.
So he couldn't be on
Following
Jefferson.
Him around.
But do you remember the thing in that game that they didn't talk about on the telecast yesterday was Okuda was called for like six penalties.
Oh yeah.
So like Jefferson had a ton of yards.
So he kept holding them. Huh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So like he was probably.
I remember a couple of the penalties.
Yeah. So he probably accounted for.
One of them was
100 yards.
One of those was on the winning drive, right? They had him stopped, and then they called it.
I'm not kidding. I think he
him.
Took like six penalties.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So.
So I mean, there's never a time where Jefferson is a non-factor now.
Okay, here's the big Ricey question of the week.
All right.
What's Randy's name, your guy you do the podcast with?
Realistic Randy.
Realistic Randy probably can't answer this question. This is such a deep question.
All right.
Is it the system or is Danielle Hunter cooked? What is it? Which one is it? Is he beat up? Has he been beat up for too many years? He was a flash. And he's now mediocre, and this is him, or is it the system?
I think it's the system, and here's why. I'm not saying that he's the player that he was in 2018 or 2017 when he was fantastic, but I think it's the system because there's too many guys that aren't having an impact. I think Donatell is running his scheme.
Yes.
And I don't think he's flexible enough to say, I'm going to need to tweak my scheme. But if everybody else was going great guns or playing pretty well, But yeah. I think when you look at the overall, I mean, Pat, it's a franchise mark now. What, the last five games, 400 plus yards?
Yes, first time ever. Although
I think it's coaching.
I did say more this than earlier. It's 400 yards, but 400 yards today aren't what 400 yards are. What 325?
It's still
was.
Five consecutive games.
It
though.
Is. It is. It's
if it
a
was
lot of yards.
Just
but
a game
not,
or two, I'd agree.
But it's not like when they were bad with Van Brocklin and he gave up 325. That was a big deal, yeah. Right? You know, so. It's not, you don't go all the way back there, but yeah, it is. And so that, if that's it, what was the logic of having all this money invested in this guy?
Yep.
And then bringing in Smith, who could either play linebacker or the other one.
Yep.
What was the logic of getting him in a position where he's, has to run after a receiver once in a while and stuff like that. I mean, what was the logic? It made no sense. What are they? Who? It had to be O'Connell or somebody who thought a 3-4 was the way to go.
Yes. So
you don't have Aaron Donald here or what? What, you know?
O'Connell, when he was with the Rams, they struggled against the 3-4 that Fangio ran with the Bears and then as the Broncos coach.
I see. Okay.
Donatell was the DC for Fangio, but that's like being the OC now for O'Connell. You're not calling plays.
Yes.
So the assumption was Donatell knows all the secrets.
But Donatell has in the past called plays. Right?
He has
other plays.
And he used to run a 4-3.
Yeah.
So like he just became attached to he must know what Fangio does.
Well, now he's
but
finally,
that
now
save
he
you.
Wants him. But by definition, the three man front, basically the five man front when the guys are on the edge.
Yep.
That is a blitz, basically. Aren't you going after him with five guys most of the time? Shouldn't you be?
Well, shouldn't not consistently,
Smith,
they don't.
Shouldn't Smith and Hunter be going after him every play?
Yeah, but here's Phil's. Phil had the stat this morning. They blitzed on 32%. They pressured
32%, which means sending both Smith and Hunter.
Yeah,
right?
But that is, I believe, their average going into the game was 16%. So they upped it, but they don't get to the guy. And
so
I don't believe Hunter is that cooked.
So who can't play then? Who's what?
I don't think.
Who are the other three? Who are the three guys?
Dalvin Tomlinson, Harrison Phillips. And then I forget who else they started as alongside those guys yesterday.
And Phillips and Tomlinson are both run stoppers, right?
Yep.
Basically.
Yes. They're not pass rushers.
So, yeah, I don't know. Whatever
I think at some point in time you've got.
I want Hunter doing what he was doing.
Right.
You know?
But that's the thing is you've got to adjust. What O'Connell's done pretty well, I think, is adjusting to his talent, too. I think this guy's running a system and saying the system works and the players don't necessarily fit it.
Well, they got tied into this defense in game one because they went after the Packers with the umbrella. And Rodgers had a bunch of idiot receivers who didn't know what the hell they were doing.
Poor Christian Watson.
If they had Davante Adams in that and came out with that defense, he would have caught 12 passes the first game, right?
Yep.
But, you know, Rodgers spent that whole game grousing and mad at Watson and the whole thing. I mean, Watson has become a receiver now, but it took a while. But I think they fooled themselves into saying that this big umbrella works because we even fooled Aaron Rodgers. No, his receivers fooled Aaron Rodgers. Well, Lazard didn't even play that game, right?
Right. Yes.
The only guy that knew what play he was supposed to be running. And they got, you know, Randall Cobb back, who's cooked was his best 5 years ago. So I think they took a lot of optimism out of that first game about the Ed's umbrella defense. And it's not the Tampa 2, but it's basically the same thing as leave the middle of the field open and throw underneath them. Let them throw underneath you.
It seems extremely passive.
Yes.
Like there's just room there all the time.
Yeah. I mean, and the Tampa 2 was extremely passive. And if he had the right guys up front, then you could make it unpassive. But if you're not rushing the quarterback in the modern NFL, you got no chance to stop people because that's about the only way you can stop people now is with the as good as the receivers are.
Yep.
as many as quick as they are to call holding penalties on your defensive backs and all that stuff, you got to be able to, you got to pressure the quarterback, and you don't have to hit him all the time, but you got to look, you got to make him think he's going to get hit at least. You got to be close enough to make him twitchy, right?
Yes.
So.
Yep, the perception.
Yeah.
And they're not coming close to that consistently.
No, it's amazing. It's amazing. They're 10-3 with this, you know, with this defense. It's incredible. So anyway, they're still 10-3. And they weren't even out of that game yesterday. As bad as
it felt like they were down by 21.
As bad as they were defensively, you know damn well, as I just said, if they hadn't thrown the pass to the big old tackle, Vikings would have been going for two, trying to tie the game with a minute and a half to go.
Can you imagine the criticism Campbell would have got if that play didn't work, too?
Yes. Yes, but it was a great play.
It was, and it worked. But if that hadn't worked, we would have, that buffoon.
Uh-huh. He is a fired-up, different kind of guy, but they got to love him, and he's going to be the king of Detroit, whether they make the playoffs or not. Do they have to win them all to make the playoffs, though? They got four left, right?
They'll have to look.
They probably have to win three out of four. You know what? I think that Giants and Commanders, I think that was a setup. I think they had a pregame deal to tie because it basically gets them both in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They're going to, you know.
You know what we need? Penalty kicks. We need penalty field goals.
Something that is really just. And tells the difference between two teams.
Just a bunch of field goals.
Yeah, penalty kicks, yes. Let's just
take everyone off the field. Don't even try and block them and just keep going backwards and backwards until somebody misses.
Don't get me started on penalty kicks. You can play for hours, and then you're going to go up there and kick it into an open net.
Yep.
Who's the best at going, make him to think you're kicking right and then kicking left. I hate him.
You go from the hardest sport to score goals.
Yes.
To basically indoor soccer.
Yes. And then once you're either goal down or you're scoreless with 20 minutes to go, it becomes who can convince this one referee to give me a penalty kick,
yes.
Right?
Well, he had one on Saturday. England missed. Harry Kane missed the damn thing.
Oh, he'll never forgive him, will he?
It was Blair Walsh, Gary Anderson.
Yeah, right.
They might be the Vikings of soccer.
They are.
Yeah. England. Well, they showed the open. I just saw the tape of the open net. He had the open net, and he missed it by 20 feet, right?
I know.
Kicked it
over. Declan's right.
Yes, though, you know.
They are.
He was the hero of England. Now they'll hate him. He's lucky it's not Colombia.
Oh, you wouldn't go home.
See you later.
Well, I suggest you don't go home.
Escobar went home.
Yeah, exactly.
He got killed before the other Escobar did.
Yes.
And the other Escobar had the whole world trying to kill
him. Going after him.
But these guys, they got this guy in the bar.
You've heard me discuss my relationship with Josh Arnold for some time. The reason I advocate that you give Josh a call is simple. Trust and results. Josh has seen it all when it comes to economic and market conditions. As has been said, through all of our relationship, past results do not guarantee future returns. And while that is true, Josh can make sure that your retirement objectives match your investments. You can understand that Josh will make sure you are not paying more in fees than you are seeing in returns. Yes, that is more common than you would like to think. Do yourself a favor and have a booking with Josh for the 48-minute free evaluation. This is a no-obligation meeting. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. You will be glad that you did.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Patrick Royce is a paid endorser.
By the way, I got another angle about the whole oil thing. I might not be around for it, but you and Declan will.
Yeah.
And about 6 years from now, you're going to be paying 86 cents for gasoline. Do you know that? Everybody is, I'm talking, sitting with a car dealer watching a hockey game. Everything is electric or hybrid now.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Everything. I mean, everybody is.
Yeah, yeah. You
nobody
won't
wants, yeah. Nobody, you know. Everybody who's got money and is buying a new car is waiting months
to buy electric.
To get an electric or a hybrid. And they keep, you know, there were 2-3 years ago, there was three of them making them.
I got
now
you.
Everybody's making them. You know, Tesla's, you know, okay, that moron, you know, was the big thing in electric cars, and he was ahead of the curve, but everybody's making one now, you know.
Yeah.
And then it's going to, and they're going to keep getting better. So you can drive, you can.
How far can you get them? That's my question.
And right now, you got to, if you're going to Chicago, you got to stop and get a cup of coffee for an hour and plug it in.
I'm not doing that.
But I'm not either, but. They keep getting better and better and better.
Right.
And more
range. So what happens then?
That's good. We don't have to. We don't have to. We don't have to. That's, be beholden.
Are the oil people really going to accept this, though?
What are they going to do?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. They're very rich and capable of bad things. I'm just asking.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Like, but if you go to, your product is now no longer necessary, it'd be great. I just don't know if it's going to be that simple.
Well, they're going to try to keep promoting to us the delights of gas-powered vehicles. I mean, Such is still, you know, he wants the old gas burner and all that stuff. And I was talking to this guy. I can't afford one. You know, they're $80,000 or something.
Yeah, but that's,
I mean, they're ungodly.
Like you said, that's coming down.
Yeah, but I can't afford one, but if you wanted one,
mm-hmm.
you gotta wait 6 months. They're in tremendous demand. And there's a, I just saw a thing today as this country, Gen Z. What is Gen Z?
That's
25 through 25.
That's that's like 21 through 25. That's the one below me.
21 through 25.
I'm at the tail end of millennial.
And I'm not making this big political. It just tells you where the mindset is
mm-hmm.
on biofuels and gay relationships and everything else. Every state in the union, the Gen Z voters voted Democratic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Every state in the union, even the redneck ones.
Not surprised a bit.
No, because I mean, that doesn't mean 2024 could still be a Republican landslide because old white people still control the vote. But it's amazing. But it's amazing what the message is. And you know what else? I found out about the message, too, with my Fleck column, which, by the way, was outstanding. It was funny.
I read the headline and thought, what a jerk.
Oh,
it was
God.
Funny.
Yeah. I read the headline and I just stopped right there.
We slipped the line, you know, everything we'd say like.
All that work for what?
As we're sitting there, as they're sitting there to wait for the results of a top 50 recruiting class, which wasn't the case. You know, nice little snide remarks, but harmless, right?
And what happened?
It was not a club, right? Well, nobody read it and they just ripped the hell out of it.
Yep.
And the Tribune. And
Ryan James ripped you. I defended
Ryan
you.
James Ryan called James. It a hit piece.
Yes.
That was great.
I defended you.
A hit piece.
Nothing to see here.
That was a Nerf ball.
Yeah.
That was a Nerf ball.
2022, it's a hit piece.
Hey, I tried to set it up and say, I'm okay. Give him $1 million. I don't care.
Yes.
And they're saying, you old guy, what do we care what happened in 1930s. Well, because he said 115 years, you jackasses, not me. I wasn't going to do a thing. And there it was. I can't let that go. I would not be fulfilling my place on earth if I let him say we're doing amazing things that haven't happened in 115 years. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's his fault, not mine, right?
Your problem is nobody read it.
Nobody read it.
That's your problem.
But they don't read it.
So your great lines all were lost.
All were lost. You know what? My email, which is people my age are emailers, right?
Yeah.
Full of praise. Full of praise. But we're all going to be dead in 2 years, you know? So that's one of the problems. You know, one guy played with Bronco or something, one of my supporters, you know? So, but. Yeah, it's that's Gen Z, you know. You're not going to read that. They're not going to read that for the delightful one-liners that are in
there.
They
saw the headline, and they know you're predisposed to criticize Flack.
And the Star Tribune's Twitter guys, which I've given up on, they sent out the Twitter thing. And I think they like to put a hot take in the headline, in the little summary. It's not really a headline. It's a, what do you call it?
It's a headline and then a story summary.
But. The headline, the little...
Yeah, it's like a teaser. It's like a little teaser to the column.
The 12 words teaser said, this is not the golden era of Gopher football. Well, nowhere in the column does it say this is that he claimed this was the golden era of football. All it says is he said he's done amazing things that haven't happened in 50.
You know what you need?
You know what he needed? He could have just said, when we've done amazing things here, that haven't been done.
And you would have ignored it completely and never written about it and ignored Gopher football.
15 years, I would have.
You know what you need to do?
What?
You need to, in your next contract with the Star Tribune, you need them to get to agree for your headline and summary to say you'll have to read it.
Yes, right. That's right. That's right.
Get rid of any headline. You want no reference.
This is about Gopher football and P.J. Fleck.
That
please,
can be the...
Please read it.
Yep. No, but the big head can be, you'll have to read it, and then the summary can be, this is about Gopher football.
And
that's
never,
all you get.
There's never been a time in our lives that it's more important to get immediately to the point. But that doesn't mean I'm going to change, right?
I mean, no, it's far too late.
77, it's not. I can't change.
Well, and you do Twitter. You do Twitter well.
Yes, I do Twitter.
So, I mean, it's not like you don't get to it, but your writing style will
should not get to the point. I'm not going to change. I had to give him the, I was willing to let this pass.
But this has been one of your platforms as far as historical Minnesota sports goes. The Gopher football thing has been one of, but before Fleck said this too, though.
Yeah.
You have gone through the fact that they didn't play as many
games.
There were no bowl games. There were very few bowl games.
They played eight games through 1941.
Yeah.
They played nine games.
This gave you a chance to teach. That's my point.
I was teaching. Through 1970, they never played more than 10 games, which would really make it hard to win 11, right? Yeah. That makes it tough, right?
Yep.
So anyway.
So you were teaching.
I was. It was a professorial.
You're a Professor Pat.
Yes. But they didn't see it that way because they didn't read it.
And you know what? A good teacher would make sure the students read.
Yes, that's right.
Not just assume from the headline.
And, of course, all of society. I was talking to a couple of basketball guys and talking about the woeful condition of Gopher basketball for 25 years, basically. Oh, and now it's terrible. Nobody goes to the games. And
yep.
Were you at the Michigan game?
No, I haven't been to a game for a while.
And we got to adjust to the idea that we were mad at Bally Sports North for not having the games on, but that really affects nobody under 30 years old or 40 because don't watch it. They watch the Vikings.
Well, and they're on Big Ten Network, aren't they, Gophers?
They watch the Vikings, but they don't. They don't watch. They don't sit down and watch games. They watch highlights. I had a baseball coach tell me they still had great numbers for their baseball, high school team. I think the Bob Carnum at St. Cloud Cathedral. They still had good numbers playing places. These kids have never watched the Twins game. If the Twins get in the World Series
they
might watch. They watch highlights.
In the morning, they get up, pull out their phone, and watch the highlight package.
See what's on the highlight package.
Yes. And you know what? I don't blame him one bit.
No, I don't either. I don't either.
Especially baseball.
I'm not complaining about anything. I'm just saying the world has become nonstop snapshots.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not, Chip's wonderful piece on Red Lake, five trips to Red Lake Indian Reservation with one of the world's five best newspaper photographers. Aaron Levinsky.
Fantastic.
And it was a fantastic read, but the audience was, 50 plus, I got to think, because, you know, the kids,
I read the whole thing, so you're right about
that. Yeah, me too. I read it in its original form, and then I read it again in the paper. He said it to me in early, and I read it. I said, yeah, this is good. You could do a couple of things. But it's fantastic, and we got a great reaction, and that's pretty much what newspapers have to do, because those are gone. Those Gen Z is gone.
Yes.
They ain't coming back, you know.
Well, does Gen Z read the website?
I don't know.
Definitely
I don't think we're really high on the website either.
Okay. You know? I was just curious if they're being steered somewhere. So Gen Z watches highlights and might go to like ESPN.com then.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
Again,
without kids, I don't know really. Well, I do care, but I'm sort of checked out.
But the, you know, the last I looked, there were 300 and some comments on the Fleck column. And again, the number of people who read it from top to bottom of those 300, now there was, some of them were repetitive, you know, there might have been 200 individuals or 150.
Who started fighting.
We're probably 12. There wasn't any fight. It was pretty much.
They all hated
you? It
was
part of my, it was David Morrell against the kid who lived from, you know, from Kazakhstan. It was a knockout on Twitter. It was a knockout.
But, oh, yeah, I saw it. I told you. I defended you. I tried to defend you. Yeah, I said this is a historical perspective.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, Ryan James, I got no problem. He's, you know, he's a house man, and that's fine. But it's not a hit piece. It was a humorous look at an over-the-top comment.
Yes, and but that's the thing with Fleck is I'm sure he perceived it as a hit piece. And what's incredible is to go back to this extension – I, honest to God, did not hear one person object.
No, nobody's saying. I didn't say anything about it. But that's but part of the debate becomes, oh, you want somebody else to go? No, you know.
No, that's
right. I want somebody who's not going to say nobody's been this good in 115 years.
Yes.
That's all I want. That's a long time, 115 years. Corzo said if he'd stopped at 55, he might have been okay. But he's,
yeah.
You know, but it is. It's an interesting world out there.
Oh, God, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Gopher basketball thing, though, is, my God.
Nobody is there.
We don't talk enough about how that program has, post-Clem.
Post-Clem, basically, and Clem's 98, they won the NIT, 99, they went to the tournament, and then George Dorman broke the story the day before they played Gonzaga.
Yep.
That team was not going to make a run or anything. But they were still filling the barn because of 97.
Yep.
And since then, I remember going over there and saying, you know, like year or two of Munson saying, God, there's only 11,000 people here for a Big Ten game. Now it's, you know, it's even when they, you know, they're padding by, 50% at least.
I don't even know. I haven't been there.
But
it's so bad right now.
They announced 10 for Michigan, and everybody said there were 6, 7. But we spent all this time worrying about Gopher hockey and Big Ten basketball. Gopher hockey's in fine shape. They got the best team they've had since 2002.
Yep.
They won it in 03, but the only time they were better, that 03 team wasn't as good as the 02 team.
The blue line.
This is the best talent
incredible
they've had in 21
absolutely
years.
Yep.
I mean, this is they were young, you know, young. Everybody talks young. They were finding themselves. They're now an unbeatable machine. How bad they beat Wisconsin 6-0.
Well, they killed them on Friday. Then they trailed 2-0 on Saturday and came back and scored like 6 or 7
yeah,
goals.
Yeah.
They've got, Pat, I would estimate at least 7 guys right now that should be playing pro.
Oh, yeah. That
line of Cooley and that whole line.
Yeah, Cooley's fantastic. Nice is a monster.
He should be in Toronto.
Nice should be. He's a monster.
He's going to be a top 6 guy with the Maple Leafs as soon as he leaves here.
He's 6.
Faber.
He's 6. Faber's fantastic. I love him.
Yep, he's going to replace.
He's 6'4". Nice is 6'4".
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. He's great.
He's 6'4".
And talented.
Yes. I mean, he can.
Skilled. Cooley.
The only way they're going to get beat, I don't think they can get beat when they get in the tournament. Anybody that beats him is going to be a monumental upset.
Yeah,
I think because the talent on you're well coached. A Matsko.
Yep.
And B, the talent is going to be superior to anybody else you're playing.
Yes.
And by that, by the end of March, when you're in the tournament, they'll be better than they are now.
Yes.
Because they're just getting more and more experience. They're great.
I put out a tweet Saturday saying, is Wisconsin this bad or are the Gophers this good? And Nate Wells, who used to cover Gopher hockey, sent me a note and he said the only two teams that could be competitive are Denver and Quinnipiac. And Quinnipiac is just older, hard, you know, it's that style.
They got the union.
But these guys now could skate circles around Quinnipiac, I bet.
Oh, yeah. They're good.
They get going. Brodzinski's come on. He's played great.
It is amazing how he got it going again as far as, you know, there was a period where, okay, you got a lot of other options. Every other sport. I was talking to Jay, what the hell's his name? He runs Division I basketball. You know, he's one of the Jay Furman. He's one of the Division I guys.
Yep.
And you know, that's one of the big AAU teams. And it was, you know, Patino basically got run out of here because he didn't get Minnesota kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't winning a lot, enough anyway. And Ben came in and he's got a bunch of them on this year's team. But the next group, none. Now he's getting two really good players from out of here. But we were talking about, okay, the kids of even the John Thomas, you know, when he was with the Gophers coming out of Roosevelt, they had 100 options. He wants to be on the floor at Williams Arena where there's been all this excitement and Furman said, these kids, it's a world out there. It's a world out there. Some of them want to go someplace so they can hike in the mountains. He said, some of them want to go where it's warm. He said, they all have different, there's no big driving
to
force,
go.
You know, Amir Coffey, because of his dad, probably wanted to play on the glorified elevated floor of Williams, but there's no romance there anymore. It doesn't figure into the decision.
Yeah.
And kids like to get away from home too. So,
well, and you can go to Basketball Powers now. You know, we didn't have classes of guys that had like two or three Duke, mm-hmm. North Carolina type talents.
You know who the hottest junior prospect in the state is? This kid Asuma, I think he's a junior. He's playing a Cherry up by Hibby. Now he must be moved up there. Maybe like I did a piece last year on the kid from Medelia whose mom said, I'm going to get the hell out of here and moved her family down there. And I don't know how this kid ended up in Cherry, Minnesota, but he was playing in this breakdown tournament last weekend at Hopkins at 11:30 in the morning. And all four Gopher coaches and the entire roster was there watching him. Just now the Gopher coaches to recruit him, but the players wanted to see him.
Right.
And then there's a bunch of them there. Like Holy Family has 2 6-foot-11 guys that are going to be, there's a bunch of them. They're not like Thugs and the Tyus and those guys.
Right.
But they're, you know, you can win with them. You know, there's a bunch of them you can win with. And I was talking to John Doxton, the coach out at Lakeville North. And he loves Ben, but Trevor Winter's kid plays for him, went to Wisconsin.
Well, yeah, they're a factory for the Badgers.
Yeah, the high school coach doesn't, you know, the high school coach coaches, he gets them involved, he doesn't tell them what school to go to anymore. Yeah.
And Winter's kid, his dad went and was,
yeah,
a good,
played for the Gopher,
was a good Gopher player.
And mom, Heidi Olhausen.
Yeah.
One of the first great Gopher volleyball players.
If dad has his kid go play for Wisconsin, you really don't have a shot sometimes.
No. I think they like the way they coach big men over there, right?
Yep.
So that's,
and then, yeah.
Speaking of volleyball, wow, did Director Coyle come out of the woods today? Hugh quit in late October.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that Coyle's search committee for a replacement was Hugh. Coyle's search committee for his next hockey coach was Louie.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And he got go get Motzko. Yep. It was not, you got to give him credit for one thing, Coyle. He identifies who he wants and he hires him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today they hired Keegan Cook from Washington, who, when you read it, went to the Final Four, it kind of turned him into a top 15 power out there. They hadn't been. But they went and got him, and they hired him today, right as soon as basically they lost last week and Gophers lost. So they must have been on the phone with his agent November 1st or something, about a week after Hugh quit, and they must have identified him as the guy they wanted. And when you read the bio about, you know, Hugh is, McCutcheon's into this whole holistic, you know, you're involved in their lives. And, you know, there's only 12, 13 players, and you want them to graduate. You want them to be their best selves. And it's not a cliche as much as a thing, but you read the stuff about this guy, it's the same. So he's, you know, one of the probably top 10 or 12 coaches in the country, and they got him, they signed him today. And this is just me, but you're out there on the West Coast, and you've done well in that league, but you got Stanford, which is a power, but all of a sudden UCLA and Southern Cal are leaving, right?
Right.
You don't know what that league's going to look like when you're done.
Right.
They already got a great nucleus here. If they can keep it, then they got two hotshot recruits coming in, and you're going to be playing in the big, even though the Big Ten ended up with no teams in the Final Four this time, it's still the best volleyball conference in the country.
Absolutely.
I got to think UCLA and Southern Cal leaving has got something to do with him coming here beyond money. They probably paid him $800, $900.
Well, there's way more certainty here, TV wise as well.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
You so got the TV Big Ten deal. Now.
Yeah. You know, the money.
You know what they
coming.
Found out? It, when they started that, I think that they thought that Big Ten men's hockey was going yes. to be great programming. Yes. And what I think they found out is it's okay at best, right? Mm-hmm. Volleyball, I don't think they saw as being viable. And I think it's turned out to be a gold mine.
And if a 15-year-old girl is home and she's a volleyball player, she's apt to watch the volleyball because you don't get overexposed to it. As a 15-year-old boy, he's not going to watch the basketball. Is probably, yep. you know, is what. So the volleyball audience is hardcore.
It's also a good TV sport.
Oh, it's
a
great.
Really good TV
it's
sport.
It's great because it's constant action. Yep. I always say it's the great thing about it is there's 75 goal line stands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not every time, but. There's drama.
Enough of them, yes.
There's drama and enough points. I'm really, hats off to Coyle for going and getting him. I'm sure Hugh said this is the guy you want to get, but they didn't give him time to change his mind.
So why did Hugh quit? Do we know yet?
They hadn't told us, and he was supposed to tell us Monday.
I thought you said.
And then they got a yes from this guy, apparently, and he didn't want to enter. From what I hear, Jeff Day's tight with him, and Day told me that he didn't want to interfere with the whole thing, so maybe 2 weeks from now he'll talk about it, or just he'll talk to somebody and talk about it. But I don't know what I think it could be as simple as family, that he's got an eighth grader and a 10th grader, and he's
that was a great hire though.
Wants to, oh this guy
no Hugh he, oh, to get him here
well,
originally is a great
my
hire.
My old friend Vols.
You guys were tight. No hit pieces on her, ever.
No hit pieces. Now, those were some hit pieces. I should clip out a couple of those and send them to Ryan James and say,
side by side,
this is a hit piece.
Yes.
Okay, here's a Coach Brew column. That's a hit piece,
yes.
right? That's a hit piece. You know, why would anybody play for this idiot? That's a hit piece, right?
Yes.
And we've never done that to PJ. But, yeah, when he brought in Hebert, mid-90s, and saw volleyball as a big growth sport, and she had been a volleyball coach. But so you had him, and then McCutcheon landed in their lap. It wasn't because of Maturi, it was a family situation that he you know, his wife's father was murdered in Japan.
I remember you told me that story,
and,
yeah.
And she wanted to come back, and he wanted to come back, and what's interesting, though, is he signed on to be an assistant AD. You know, he's going to work for the Gophers. So.
Oh, he's so.
Yeah, he's like, I got a hunch that Coyle's going to put him in charge of the non-revs or something. I don't know what the thing is, but
sure,
he's a really impressive guy. But this is a hell of a hire because Keegan Cook is like one of the, here's what's astounding though about volleyball. All the coaches are males. Like there's only women only have like 20% of the head coaching jobs. It's,
I did not know that.
The other good thing about it is we've had, I can't recall any scandals with the men's coaches in volleyball. Yeah. There's a, it's not like all these other sports where we have problems, but this is a hell of a hire. He's going to do an introductory press conference Friday, I guess. Anyway, go for a Vikings play Saturday, right?
Yeah. Saturday afternoon against the Colts. And then the next Saturday is Christmas Eve against the Giants.
Why did that game get moved?
It was TBA, and they put it as part of a there's a triple header on Saturday,
which so, is and that's what
they must have done because the Vikings had 10 wins at the time, right?
Yeah. Well,
I mean their choices probably weren't great.
That's gonna be tough competition for some of those good bowl games that we got coming up though, right?
When do we play?
I don't know.
Where's the pinstripey?
Coach Kill. You know where Coach Kill ended up? Back in Detroit.
I saw Shooter had a note about what a great job Kill did.
Well, he did, but two of the six victories were over FCS teams, including Valparaiso, which lost to St. Thomas 38-6. They paid them $400,000 to come down to New Mexico State to make them bowl eligible so they could go to Detroit and lose money. But, hey, Jerry, it's better than their basketball where they've had a murder. So
yeah, that guy got lured in, though, I think, right?
Yes, by, guess what? Undefeated. Oh, that's how he got lured in.
That's what happens. In. Young man, that's what happens.
But the
sometimes.
Best part of this was, so he had to sneak out of the hotel at 11 at night, you know, because his curfew was 11 or right. something. Two-thirds of the team was outside. They all left the hotel. I don't think that coach has a big future. It's his first year at New Mexico State. I don't think he has a big future.
You think he doesn't have his thumb on the program?
No,
is that what you're saying?
People tried to murder him, and then he shot a guy to defend himself. Yeah. He hasn't been charged yet.
Yeah, he probably should have stayed in his room.
Yeah. Or you should just not go through this charade of curfew. Just say, please, guys.
Yep.
Please, guys.
Just don't be carrying. All right.
Anything else? No, we're good.
All right. Talk to you next week.
Hi, this is Chris Howard, host of Plugged In Chris Howard. University of Michigan QB J.J. McCarthy makes bold predictions but doesn't fulfill them, and Ohio State kicker Noah Ruggles misses an opportunity to etch his name in Buckeye lore. Fans love their teams and the players. That is, until they don't. When it comes to finger pointing, you'll find no greater antagonist than the fan. Why? Because it means more to them, or so they believe. As a former player, nothing angers me more than armchair Charlies accusing the teams of overlooking opponents or blaming players for providing bulletin board material. But leading up to the game, the fan is the one talking the most, boasting the most. When the team is winning, it's a lot of we talk. But when the team loses, it turns into they lost. You will never know what those moments feel like because you didn't put in the work to earn those feelings from those moments. That's the great thing about being part of a team. You win as a team, you lose as a team. We cry, we console our brother, we don't point the finger, we go back to work, back to the early morning workouts, the hill sprints, back to the bloody noses and broken bones. Why? Because it really means more to us. Hi, this is Chris Howard, host of Plugged In with Chris Howard. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From football to basketball to soccer and esports, we've got it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fixed. And don't forget BetOnline for NHL, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts.